Conference record has joined the conference.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for joining us this evening for our call, our learning series on acumen. We're very pleased tonight to have Kay. And Kay, I'm sorry, I don't know your last name.
McCallick.
All right, thank you. And Linda Heinrich. Kay is from the representative for acumen for North Dakota, and then we also have Linda Heinrich, who has been assisting us through infant development and early intervention at the Department of Human Services. So I'm glad to have you both on the call, and however you would like to proceed is great. Just let us know.
Well, I guess I would just like to thank you, Deneen, and Family Voices for doing this, because it's a wonderful way to get the information out. So thank you all. And then from there, I guess I'll just let Kay take over.
Hi, I just was trying to connect with you guys and let you know I'm having trouble with my internet, of course. So I will start with the slideshow that, does everybody have it up? That was it sent to everyone?
It was sent to everybody.
Okay. So you guys are going to have to correct me if I've got the wrong slide going on. I'm running around trying to reconnect my wires, so you'll hear me out of breath.
Deneen?
Yes.
I didn't get anything for a slideshow.
Is it?
This is Connie.
Okay, Connie, I will send it to you right now.
Okay.
So the first thing I have on the slideshow, and Linda, correct me if I'm wrong, is a list of the two types of programs that are currently operating in North Dakota. We currently have both an option for someone to be an employer and an employer representative. So you could be someone who just has services that are, that are authorized just in reference to, like, vendor-type services, or you could register as an employer. Those are the two options. Does everybody understand the two different ways you could sign up for self-direction? Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any questions about when you do enroll, which way you need to enroll? Because I think that has been a question for some people. Occasionally people enroll and they need to be enrolled as employers, and they only enroll as a representative, and that causes issues with their payments. Are there any questions in reference to the different ways to enroll?
I guess another thing I would suggest is if you do have any questions, you could talk to your program manager, because they would be able to assist you in making sure that you did get the right forms to be able to enroll as either the employer or as an employee or in the vendor packet. That didn't come out right. Anyway, your program manager will be able to assist you in determining which packet is the right packet to complete.
So in reference to enrollment, I did want to just reach out and see if anybody has any questions about the process and the current system. No one's having any concerns or problems or questions? Okay. Linda, can you go ahead and tell me what the next slide is. I apologize as I try to get this back up.
Okay. It's one that talks about the DD program managers.
Right. So one of the things we wanted to go over was kind of the responsibilities of the program managers versus acumen. So acumen's responsibility is to take the information provided by the program managers and process that. So the program managers are going to provide us the authorization with the amounts, and they're going to provide us the services. If we don't receive that, we can't enroll anyone in the actual program. So one of the other things that's often a question is what type of services an individual can receive without the authorizations in place. If they can enroll, and how far they can go. And you can't enroll or do anything without that. Linda, can you take over for one quick second? I'm going to hop off.
I was going to say, Kay, do you just have access to your PowerPoint? Can you just see your PowerPoint and go through it that way rather than trying to do anything else and then just do the phone conversation? Because I think we can all just follow along that way.
Sure. Just give me 5 seconds and let me come back on, okay?
All righty. While she's doing that, I'll talk a little bit about the packets and the program managers. I'm sure some of you have been involved in the change with getting new employer and employee agreements signed. And that is one of the things that the program manager would be assisting you with once you have expressed an interest in enrolling in the self-directed supports program. Then they will provide you with all the forms that need to be submitted, and depending upon the particular program you're in, whether or not you will need, which agreement form you will need to submit. And I know that has been quite an issue in the last couple, I'd say the last month, 6 weeks. And basically the reason for that is that the decision was made to update all those agreements to make sure that everyone was completely aware and familiar with what they were agreeing to, because some of the language in the old forms hadn't been as clear as we would like. And so we had to go back and then also have the individuals who had participated in the program sign the new agreements, even though they had sent in one at the initial time of enrollment. So I don't know if that makes it any clearer for you or not, but the rationale behind it was just trying to make sure that everyone did understand what they were agreeing to, and both the employers and the employees. Are you back on, Kay?
I am back on.
Okay.
I put the computer down trying to reconnect, but running downstairs, it's not going to seem to work. So, okay. So we went over the options and the enrollment options, and we discussed just moving through the CD program manager role. The other role for the program manager is to communicate with you guys any updates or changes to the waiver, which one of the changes was the agreement, and Linda, you just went over that.
Yep.
And I did talk about the need for the authorization. And so we can move on to what Acumen provides. So Acumen, as you know, collect all the documentations, set up all the employers and employees with files. We establish the employers with an EIN, and we complete all the criminal background checks and confirm that all of the state requirements for the employees have been met prior to starting them. One of the questions or issues that have arisen was when an employee can start, and it's really important, even if the authorization starts, let's say January 1, that the employee doesn't start until they get a good-to-go from Acumen. So the good-to-go is the actual date they can start working, and that doesn't always correlate with the authorization start date. Occasionally, those dates are different. The other items that Acumen does is we do pay all of the taxes. We distribute the W-2s and the 1099s, and we complete all the garnishments and tax liens that are required for normal payroll. So that, in general, is what Acumen's responsibilities are. Are there any questions about those roles or responsibilities? No?
When you talk about the good-to-go letter for the employee, is it possible to start meeting with them and get those forms completed in advance of the start date on the authorization?
Yes, absolutely. And that's kind of what I was alluding to as I was running around my house earlier, was that you can actually send in those documents pretty far in advance. And then without an authorization, we won't give you the good-to-go, but we'll have everything ready to go. So as soon as we got the authorization with the start date, then we can actually roll everybody out and start with the latest date, which is either the last document received or the start date of the authorization, whichever comes later. So preparing and turning in things early is always recommended, if possible. I know that's not always, the case. And if there is a situation where it's an emergency type situation, You can always contact either Linda or myself, and we can try to do a rush enrollment for you and try to get something going. But if you can plan ahead, that's always the better route to go.
What's the general turnaround time for those receipt to good to go letters?
Well, currently, the turnaround time is anywhere between 1 to 2 weeks. I will tell you at the end of the presentation about a new process that we're going to be starting that should really decrease that turnaround time, probably to less than, you know, I would say 48 hours. So it'll be much closer to 1 week turnaround time, which will be better for everyone.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the next piece has to do with the overall flow, and it's really kind of a repeat of what we talked about a second ago. But it just starts with the consumer being approved for the self-directed programming, the funds, the program manager giving the Acumen startup packet to the representative or the employee. The representative then can begin filling those forms out at the same time as the authorization is being submitted for approval to the state and then forwarded on to Acumen. Once that happens, Acumen processes all of the paperwork, and then Acumen, as I mentioned, will inform the representative or employer of their good-to-go start date. And then the consumer can begin self-directed services based on the authorization. So it's just a review of the overall process. And then I have the good-to-go slide. So everyone sees the stoplight here. It's been a concern. There are a lot of individuals that start their employees prior to the good-to-go, and unfortunately, we really can't start them if all of the documents aren't in place and the EIN and all of the information we need to be an employee is not set up. It's a little easier when someone's a vendor only with a representative to get them started, you know, quicker or backdate, but the employees really need to go from the good-to-go forward. So I think I'm going to slide on that topic. One of the things they wanted me to talk about, too, was the payroll schedule. So I have it in here, and it's kind of small. Hopefully everybody who's participating with Acumen has a larger version. But the payroll schedule is rotates twice a month. So it's a pay period that happens for, like, the beginning of the month to the 15th, and then the 16th of the month to the end of the month. The pay weeks are established here, and you can see them in the list. It shows you the due date of the timesheet, and then the pay date, and the paid day is also listed. Now, I know this was a request to have this in the presentation, so I'm assuming there may be some questions about the pay schedule and the pay dates. Anybody have any questions or concerns? No? Okay. Well, hopefully that's pretty clear. And it's relatively consistent. You know, each year we get another payroll schedule approved by the state, and we will send that out for the beginning of the next, actually their fiscal year. So we'll send that out at the beginning of each fiscal year.
Do you want to talk about how the pay schedule correlates with the vendor relationship?
Oh, yes. The pay schedule, you will also need to get a vendor payment request in at the same, following the same schedule as your employees. So if your service dates are within 7-1 to 7-15, you would need to get it in by the 21st in order to get it paid by, I'm just giving you the July example, by July 29th. So those service dates and the due dates are all correlated the same way it would with a employee. One of the things, too, is just to remember any late submissions past, we give, there's a quarter, so each quarter would be, for example, July, August, September. We give 30 days after that to submit, and then it's 15 days to bring that in and process it and pay that out. We need those done within that, I guess that would be a four-month period. After that, then we have to ask, send an email and ask permission by the region to place a late payment because of the process that they have in pulling the funds from the authorization to move it to the next period. So if the funds have been moved, we can't do any late payments at that point. So we need to make sure those are in on time. Was there anything else you wanted to cover about that, Linda?
No, I just wanted to make sure that was clear. And the other thing, like Kay said, is that each year the dates will vary based on the pay schedule. And it's, I can't remember now, when is it the new schedules come out?
It is following the fiscal year. So we'll send out the new ones probably in June that begin July 1. For service dates, July 1. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Very good. One of the other things that we wanted to talk about, since we were talking about vendors, has to do with the new requirement that we're doing in self-direction, which is we're to ensure that the vendors are now registered with the state of North Dakota. So that was a new requirement that came out with this new waiver, and we also need the vendors to submit a W-9. So once you submit a W-9 and once we clear them as a registered vendor, then they're fine to go forward. But that first time you put in a payment request for a vendor, we will need that W-9 and we need to confirm that they are a registered vendor with the state. Are there any questions about that? I did put a link here for more information if people did want to gather a little more information about it.
Is there a registration fee for those vendors?
Linda, do you have that information?
Yes. You're registering. The vendors are registering with the North Dakota Secretary of State, and there is a registration fee, but the fee varies depending on the size of the company. So I guess I have always suggested that the vendors themselves contact the North Dakota Secretary of State's office, because there are a lot of different situations, whether or not you're a contractor, the registration is going to be different there versus being someone who is providing a product, and also the fees are going to be different based on the size of your company. The vendors are also, this isn't an every year type activity for the vendors. The majority of the vendors, once they've registered, it's good for the next 5 years.
Can I just add, too, that I have asked some of my vendors whether they're registered or not, and they don't always know, but the website that is listed from Acumen is very comprehensive, and you can just go on and search, and I've been able to find people that thought they weren't registered, and they are indeed registered. So it's a very, very helpful website, and thank you for sharing that.
Good. I'm glad that that's working. I know at first people were really hesitant trying to figure out how to work that, but it hasn't seemed to be as much of a problem. Linda gave us a letter that we actually send to the actual vendor. That seems to have really helped with the communication. So, any other questions about the registered vendor? Okay, the next thing I wanted to talk about were some reporting that occur with Acumen. One of the things, after each payroll, the employers would receive an account statement, and I have an example here so that you can see. So we give you some information so that you can track your utilization and your remaining funds. This particular one has some employees. It doesn't show any employee dates, but there is actually a summary that lists the employees, all of their hours, how much they were paid. And this does go out after each activity period. So if you had a payroll or any payment in that activity period, you would receive a statement in the mail following each one, each payroll period. So that is good information. A lot of people receive these and aren't exactly sure what to do with them. So I just wanted to mention that those statements are going out. And they're in a little bit of a different format than they were previously. They have a lot more information, so we're hoping that is helpful to everyone. Any questions about the statement? Okay. I like to get feedback on those because those are something that we really want to make sure the employers can understand.
I haven't been getting statements consistently since July.
Payment?
Yes, for employee timesheets and it's all like employee related expenditures, and I just got two today actually, and one was from the beginning of October, And the next one was from the beginning of November, but I don't have the second pay period in October, and I don't have the second pay period in November, which I know that just got paid out. But
did you happen to see the stamps that those were mailed?
I, to be honest, didn't look at the stamps and through the envelopes. I may still be able to find them in my garbage, but it's been a continuing issue since July.
That's crazy. I am really, really curious if what those are being stamped. If you get a chance, actually, to if you do go through your trash and happen to find those envelopes, let me know, because I do want to track that down. We are hearing that occasionally. I have confirmed mailings going out regularly, so I'm not sure what's going on. We've had this mystery, Linda. As you know, we've discussed this before. I am not sure if there's a mail issue, if maybe we need to send it. I'm not even sure. Add those additional zip code letters if we're missing cross streets. You know, I'm really not sure, so I'm really interested to follow up on that. If you can see when they were actually stamped, it would be great.
My frustration is that I've brought this up. Well, I've called Acumen, I'm not even sure how many times, numerous times about the issue, and they're always very good about emailing me the statements, but it's been an issue, like I said, that's been going on since July, and it still has not been resolved.
Which is really...
I have verified my address numerous times. I've talked to multiple people, and it's an ongoing issue. So I just wanted to make sure that you're aware of it. And it's important for me to receive those statements because, obviously, I want to check all of my employee hours, make sure everything's correct and they've been paid correctly, and also that I know where my account is at and where my dollars are, even though I keep my own numbers, but to verify that I'm doing everything correctly as well.
Right, and that's what we want to verify that as well, and I know this has been brought to our attention, and I think specifically from you, and that's why I just want to rule out there isn't any additional external issues going on, because I just didn't find it, it's just, I can't figure out exactly what's happening. But we will follow up. We will definitely continue to follow up and try to figure out what's going on with that mailing. The next slide is something, and I don't know if you have internet access, but web time entry is an option for you if you have web access, where you can pull up those reports at any time and real time. So I wanted to make sure and bring that to your attention. Postcards were sent out to everyone about web time entry, giving them information. You can go on and register for web time entry. You don't have to enter your time that way if you don't want to. You can just pull up your reports, see your statements, your authorizations, individual employee information, et cetera. So I wanted to make sure and bring that up today. Not that that supersedes the need to fix the statements coming correctly in the mail, but it is another option for you as a format to gain that information if we continue to not have this be resolved. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. I have here a copy of some of the slides when you go on web time entry. I'm showing here the registration where you can go in, enter your information, and set up your own password. You can call customer service, and they will walk you through the process of setting up web time entry. In a one-on-one situation, you can join group trainings. There's many different ways to do that. So I just wanted to throw that out there for you. That way you can gather that information when you need it. But it's, you know, obviously we'll still address the issue with the statements not going out. And I'm not exactly sure what is honestly happening with that. We have backup statements that we load. Just so that you know, also on a website that the state can get to, so they're able to access. So after every payroll, when those are printed out to go to mail, they're also posted in FTP. So I will go back through and check and see what's going on with yours. But I know those have been posting regularly, mailing regularly, so I'm still not sure why that one particularly is not making it to its destination. One of the other slides I have in here, it pulls up something you can look at, which talks about the incomplete checklist items. So you can pull up your employees, and you can look at the checklist items, and you can see what they have in the actual checklist and what they are missing. There's also a drop down that can show you, you know, what is specifically needed to correct that form. Are there any questions about web-time entry?
I guess I'm curious if anybody on the call is using web-time entry. Doesn't sound like it. Do you have any idea, Kay, right now how many, if there's been quite a few that have switched to that direction, or if the
Actually, we do have quite a few signing up. I think the last time I looked, there was 20 to 30, and we've only had it rolled out for about, 2 months. So that's really a good number.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was kind of curious if somebody was on the phone who had done it and what their experience had been, if it was working for them or not. That sounds like moving on. Yes.
This is Diane. And yes. I know that one of my clients is using the WebTime, and she loves it.
Okay.
It's going well for her.
Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a really good process. It's a really simple system, and I know a lot of people really love it. And, you know, it just makes the process easier in reference to tracking items.
One of the things that I see with it is that I think can be helpful is that by using it, I think you see the errors more immediately than with the faxing in and that type of thing, so that those can also be corrected more quickly.
Yes, they absolutely can. One of the good things about web-time entry, too, is it alleviates the error possibilities when you submit the time. So it won't accept it when there's errors, which is the majority of errors. It still does accept some errors, obviously, but it won't send it in without, you know, the AMPM checked or without time completed, those types of errors. So that does help a lot with the back and forth. And I have quite a few samples here of the reports that you can pull up. You can actually pull up a timesheet that looks like a timesheet once the hours are submitted and print that out and have the staff sign it, so that you do have paper documentation if that's something that you're interested in, you know, versus just doing it online. The really neat things, the employer can establish their ID and password. They can also have an employee go in and establish their ID and password so they can enter the hours. Then it'll give an alert to the employer that the hours are there. The employer goes on, confirms all of the hours, and then submits the time. So that makes it nice where the employee can complete their time, you know, at home, and then the employer will get the notice and they can go in and cross-check the time and submit it. And it's a pretty clean process at that point. So the web time entry is something I really want to encourage everyone to at least go on and try. And again, you don't have to enter time. If you don't want to, you can just go in and register so that you can pull the information. So that's another, you know, another service that can be utilized through that web-time entry. And it's going to continue to grow and improve. We're going to try to set up more links of information that you can get by going on there. And so that system, hopefully at some point, we'll be able to do some vendor payment requests and uploads and things through that as well. So mileage, those items aren't on there at this time, but that is being added and upgraded to the system. The other thing in reference to customer service, one of the questions that had been asked of us was, when you have an issue, who do you go to? And our first line of communication is always customer service. You can ask to go to a department specific to answer your question. I would always recommend to get the name of someone in the department that you spoke to so that hopefully you can go back to the same person. We did make a dedicated team for North Dakota to try to address some of the multiple answers that people felt like they were kind of getting different answers, and we don't want that to happen. Hopefully that is improving. The other piece is if you are just really feeling like you're not getting your issues addressed, you can contact your supports coordinator. They can go to Linda, or you can ask for the state director and contact me directly, and I'll try to help you and support you through that process. Hopefully, the communication, which has been a focus in North Dakota, is improving. So I'm really hoping to hear some positive things coming down the road in reference to that. And so that is one of the next slides, too. One of the issues we're hearing, though, is that people are calling. They'll send facts, call that day, did you get the facts? Maybe call the next day and ask the status of the facts. And the reality is the papers move. They come in through the fax line. It's an electronic copy. The paper then gets pulled and put into a processing folder. Once it's processed, then it gets put into the individual's folder and put into the system. So if you call prior to 48 hours, you could get multiple answers because the form itself is being processed and moving through the system. And so I recommend waiting past 48 hours before you make the initial call. And I think that will clear up some of the communication, not always, but hopefully that'll clear up some of the different answers that you guys are getting. And then moving to the best part is coming in December is a new process for enrollment. We're going to start what's called assisted enrollment, and it'll be a phone number that you can call in. If you're a new employer, you can give your demographic information, and we are pre-populating all of the forms for enrollment. We'll ask you a series of questions. As you answer those, we'll fill that in the database, and you'll be able to have all of the forms filled out exactly how they're supposed to be, decrease all the back and forth with enrollment, and then we will send you a packet of forms with just signature spots highlighted and set up a follow-up call and time with you so that you can talk about the forms with us and do that a little more one-on-one before you fax those back in. So that process is going to start in December, and it should really clean up that enrollment process, and you can do that for a new employer or a new employee. About 2 months after that, maybe within just 1 month, by January, once we know the systems are all rolling, we'll start what's called online enrollment. That will be a website similar to Webtime Entry that you'll be able to go on, fill out all the demographics information about a new employer, self-populate the forms, and print them out right there at your desk, sign and date those that can't do an electronic signature or apply for an electronic signature for those that can, and fax those back in. So at that point, by January, the enrollment process should be able to be completed in 1 day. So that is coming down the pike. The system's already created. We will roll out the assisted enrollment first just to make sure all the forms are populating correctly and the state is comfortable with the process, and then we'll flip it to online enrollment. So we're really excited about that change and think that that's really going to improve the processing for the enrollment of both the employer and the employees. So does anyone have any questions about that new process?
Would you start that process before you have the authorization, or how would that work?
Yeah, it'll be exactly like what I had brought up before when I was running around, is that you can start that before at any time.
Okay.
You won't get your good to go until we have that authorization date. If the authorization comes in early and we don't have all the forms, you won't get the good to go until we get that last approved form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Whichever is later.
Okay. I think I've been waiting just thinking, you know, you get hundreds of people in there and knowing who they're going to go to and such, but I hear what you're saying.
You're right. So, yeah, it's really good to go ahead and get that paperwork going in case there's questions, just because, you know, we would not want to break in service in any way.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Hey, this is Janelle from Fargo.
Hi, Janelle.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good. With the new enrollment, now what you're saying, like the assisted enrollment, you're saying either the employer or the employee can call and do the papers?
That's right.
So I'm curious that, you know, when you go through a packet and fill it out, if there's places that is, you know, where both people have to fill out specific security information, like Social Security numbers on both sides and things like that. So then would you have both of them at some time call in to get enrolled?
Well, the new employee, if you're talking specifically about the new employee, the information can be given, but the packets, the forms would actually be filled out and on the assisted part and sent to the employer, not to the employee. So the employer would then get the documents, review the documents, and have the employee sign in the appropriate spots. If the employee is doing, if they're doing online enrollment, when they print those out, we would need both the employer and the employee to sign and date at that time.
Okay, so if, like, I am a mom and I want my child in the program and my child's name is Jane Doe, I would call you and say I want an enrollment packet for Jane Doe and give you all the information that I can, mm-hmm. and then you would fill in what you could and then send me the rest to get signed?
Right.
Okay. If I already have one started, could we use the old way for December? If I fax it in, like, Monday?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
Sorry.
Oh, absolutely. We haven't kicked it off yet. It's coming probably within the next week or two. We need
okay.
to just confirm a couple things with the state and then roll that out. We do assisted enrollment is really as a test.
Okay.
But assisted enrollment is always there as well because there's a lot of families that don't have the web access.
Right.
So they'll have much more one-on-one be able to. And, you know, even if you're the program manager in their office and they want to do a assisted enrollment, they can have the family in their office with them. They can call in together. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah.
just much more hands-on assistance from Acumen directly. So that's what the goal really was.
Okay.
And then the forms are filled out without issues.
Sure. Yeah. It's gotten 100% better, but sometimes there's these little tricky things that get missed. Like the W-9 or I-9, one of those two is some really, really small lines at the bottom that seem to get missed very easily.
Right.
They're kind of tricky. I had a question along the lines of hiring somebody, beating on the Minnesota lines. Do you know if we can waive North Dakota taxes and just have them fill out a Minnesota tax form? Or if I'll run into trouble with enrollment at that time?
Well, in reference to doing taxes, yes. I mean, honestly, if they're an out-of-state person, and I'd have to look at Minnesota to see if you guys have the agreement between the two states. My guess is that you do. But typically what we try to do is not take any taxes and then just have the individual employee pay their taxes themselves at the end of the year.
Oh, okay. So
I actually have several employees that live in Minnesota, and their taxes are taken out, but they just kind of rectify things with their tax person at the end of the year.
Okay.
Right, which is what most do, but I think if they do request to not have those North Dakota taxes taken out, they can do that, but I don't think we can actually pay, I'm almost positive we can't pay directly into Minnesota.
Okay, so if she has questions,
okay.
I should just have her call Acumen directly, because she told me that her tax guy told her to tell Acumen not to take North Dakota taxes out, only take Minnesota, and I've never had that happen before. So just have
yeah.
call somebody in at payroll if she has more questions or something.
Yeah, that's probably the best idea.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. Any other questions?
I kind of went
fast through the slideshow because I was hoping there would be more questions at the end. So I'm sorry. Does someone have one?
Okay, it's Linda again. One of the things that we had talked about is, could you review a little bit about the importance and the reason behind sending in the termination agreements or termination forms, employee termination forms?
Yes, it is important for employers to turn in termination forms for employees because we report those employees as your as active until we get that termination, and we need to go ahead and send in that unemployment office that termination that they're no longer active as your employee. So that helps keep the unemployment and all of the information that we give to the Department of Labor clean. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you, Kay.
No problem. Are there any other questions in reference to the information we went over? Like I said, we kind of did go over things kind of fast, but I wanted to make sure and give enough time for us to do questions at the end, if there's anybody else.
Wow.
Linda, did you covered the new agreement, right? So I was just trying to think if there was anything else that we wanted to bring to anybody's attention. I think that's it. Is everything going better? I'm hoping that's the response.
Absolutely better. 100% better, I would say, on our end.
Oh, that's
I would say better.
Yeah.
And I'm going to track down those statements. I cannot understand what's going on with that mailing. It's making me a little crazy.
It's making me crazy, too, but I just signed up for web time entry, so hopefully that'll at least allow me access to the data. The only thing is I'm going to have to learn how to use it, so I'll have to sign up for a tutor.
Yes, sign up for the tutor, call customer service. They're all trained on it. I mean, that's really their job to walk you through it. So take advantage of those sessions anytime, or like I said, just call one-on-one and set up a one-on-one session, whatever you're most comfortable with.
Right, and I just want to say that everybody has been very helpful when I called regarding, you know, making that information available or letting me know that they tutor me through web time entry and that sort of thing. I wanted to make an additional comment, too. I really, really appreciate the increased communication between employers and Acumen and the state and just kind of the overall increased communication. It's, I think, been a huge benefit to get some of the bugs worked out, and I appreciate Acumen's availability for those calls and the visits and that sort of thing. I just wanted to say that as well.
Oh, we're so glad. We're so glad. I mean, that really is our objective right now, is to try to improve that communication. And I'm glad to hear it feels like it's working a little bit. That is very, very cool. That's good. I am concerned about the mailings, though, because like as Linda and I were talking about, if people are not getting those postcards about web time entry, I have a newsletter coming out. Like, we really need to figure out why mailings seem to be inconsistent. So if anybody, I mean, we are, I will tell you, I have tracked them down and, you know, beat them to make sure we are mailing the item. So I'm sitting here thinking, I'm pretty sure everything's mailing out on time, but it doesn't seem to be getting where it needs to go. So if there's something that anybody can seem to think of that we might be missing, since it's out-of-state mail, is there something we need to do differently, please let us know. We don't hear anything about checks. Somehow checks are getting there. Oh. I'm not sure, but it seems like some of the basic written communications don't seem to get where they need to go. So if anybody has any thoughts or anything, let me know.
They were just talking on the news last night that the post office is cutting money.
Oh, goodness. Oh, and by the way, if you are on web time entry, and you check off that you want email blasts, what that is we will send you an email copy of everything that comes out in the mail. So you will get it on your email. So that's another great, thing to have in addition. We also are setting up what's called alerts. So you'll get an email blast when you're good to go, and all these different, you know, IT techie things are starting to come out. So hooking up to that web time entry is really going to be an asset, I think, in the future. You can always uncheck the box, too, if you're feeling like you're being, you know, over-communicated with. So it's an option.
Hey, just to double check, when you're saying new agreements, you're talking about the ones that we just went through like a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, and I know Linda talked about it, but I just want to make sure everybody understands. I know that was really any flip like that is basic challenge.
Yeah, just wanted to make sure we were through that and we didn't have another one.
Oh, no, no.
Okay.
We're really hoping things settle.
Absolutely.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've had enough changing over the last year that for all of us, right?
Yeah. No, all the families that I've had in it lately have really, everything's been good. I had one family about a week ago that we got the good-to-go letter, but she didn't get her check. Mom said she was going to check on it, and I didn't hear back from her, so they must have figured it out. Other than that, I think everybody's flowing really good, and I think I have 15 people now.
Good.
That are hiring staff, so that's pretty dog flowing and doing well.
Yeah, we are getting kind of a bump in enrollment, so I'm feeling pretty good that maybe people are feeling a little less scared about it, and I think when we flip into this easier enrollment process, that'll increase even more. So people will feel comfortable to do it if they choose to do it. So anything else, Linda? Did you think there was anything else or any other questions?
I guess those were the main things that, we had talked about covering. And so, no, I don't have anything else at this point. Denine, did you have anything that was, you know, brought to your attention?
No, I hadn't. And I just wanted to say I appreciate both of you being on and answering some questions that folks have had. And just for the good of the order, did anybody have any other questions or comments that they wanted to make at all? For the DD case managers and for even some of the families that want to share the information, we will be posting the recording on the website as soon as we get it, which will probably be tomorrow. So let your colleagues know that if they wanted to listen in, they sure can, and it's, you know, and Linda, just know that it'll be up there, too, in case you want to share that with any of your colleagues as well. So,
will do. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us tonight, and thank you both again for doing a great job of presenting to us on Acumen and how it's going to function. So that's awesome. So thank you. And good night, everyone.
Well, thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will now end.